Have you been searching for a rewarding career as labor, skilled labor, or lead man supervisor? Premier Structures may have the career you've been looking for. Premier Structures offers three stages of profit sharing, 70% of health insurance covered for individuals, and plenty of room for growth. Premier Structures is located in Athens, Alabama, and serves all of North Alabama, and is licensed in Alabama and Tennessee. To find your career with Premier Structures, go to premierstructures.com or give them a call at 256-232-2092.
With six convenient locations to serve you, Bankston Motor Homes is your local RV dealer. They have some of the top brand name RVs for sale at incredible prices. Whether you are looking for an awesome RV for a long-term road trip or a smaller or more lightweight RV for the occasional weekend getaway, Bankston Motor Homes is here to provide you with some outstanding options and deals that you just won't find anywhere else. For more information, go to BankstonMotorHomes.com or visit one of their six convenient locations in Huntsville, Florence, Warrior, Albertville, and Ardmore in Nashville, Tennessee. That's Bankston Motor Homes.
With locations in Tuscumbia, Florence, Muscle Shoals, Russellville, Killen, Madison, and Athens, Singing River Dentistry provides the most advanced dental care, including same-day crowns and implants, in a compassionate and friendly atmosphere. They excel in educating their patients and themselves about the benefits of keeping a healthy smile for a lifetime. The care of their patients is the center of their practice. They value their patients' time, trust, and total health. For more information about their practice or to request an appointment, go to SingingRiverDentistry.com.
Need the perfect fit? Whether it's hemming pants, altering a wedding gown, or giving your favorite outfit a brand new look, Coronation Tailoring and Alterations has you covered. We're your local experts in custom tailoring right here on Highway 72 next to 306 Barbecue in Athens, Alabama. Stop by today or call 256-444-0077 to schedule your fitting. That's Coronation Tailoring and Alterations, where your style is always in good hands.
Hey, everybody, this is Daryl Worley, and you're listening to The Mark White Show. Hey, step up and make a difference like he does.
This is Nico Johnson from Andalusia, Alabama. Be where your feet are. You listen to The Mark White Show.
Hey, y'all, this is Jeff Foxworthy, and you, yeah, you can make a huge difference in somebody's life. You just may not have figured out how yet, and that's why you're listening to The Mark White Show.
Hi, I'm Crystal Gale, and you're listening to The Mark White Show, and one smile can make a difference.
Hello, I'm Gene Stallings, and this is The Mark White Show. Get off the sideline and get involved and make a difference in your community.
You are listening to The Mark White Show. My daddy is your host, Mark White.
Welcome to another edition of The Mark White Show. I'm glad that you can be with us today as we're talking about something that affects far more families than most people actually realize. When we hear postpartum depression, we naturally think of moms. And of course, many mothers struggle during that season, but dads can face their own postpartum challenges too. In fact, research shows that as many as 1 in 10 fathers experience depression in those early months after their child is born. It's real, it's under-recognized, and it can quietly affect entire families, including the children. Joining me today is someone who has dedicated his career to understanding this issue, and that's Dr. Sheehan Fisher, who is a psychologist with Northwestern Medicine and an associate professor at Northwestern University. His research focuses on mood disorders in both mothers and fathers during the perinatal period and how parental mental health impacts infants and children. Today, we're going to talk about paternal postpartum depression and what it really looks like, why it often can go unnoticed, and how dads can get help without feeling shame or fear. Dr. Fisher, welcome to The Mark White Show.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Absolutely. Glad to have you. When people hear postpartum depression, almost everyone thinks about new moms, of course. How common is postpartum depression in men, and why do you think it isn't talked about very much?
Well, about 1 in 10 fathers will experience postpartum depression, especially during the perinatal period. They're at risk even prenatally, but the highest risk is around 3 to 6 months postpartum. And it's understandable that men weren't focused on as much during the perinatal period, given that historically fathers were less involved in the family unit. And of course, that the mom is the one that's carrying the baby physically and goes through many stronger hormonal changes. But we are understanding that as fathers get more involved, that they are at risk for developing depression. And therefore, we want to understand their experience and also understand their impact on the family health.
And you've shared in your research that postpartum depression can look different in fathers. What are some of the ways symptoms show up in men, and how do those differences contribute to missed or delayed diagnosis?
Well, it's a big picture that men in general are culturally taught to not necessarily report or even experience of sadness or feeling down or crying, that they're taught that you mask your symptoms. You're supposed to mask them through different mechanisms, including aggression or irritability, through hypersexuality, and even substance use. So we are many times missing out on fathers who are dealing with depression because it doesn't look like the traditional form of depression. And therefore, we have to rethink even that 10% number that I said, that might be inaccurate. There was a study done by JAMA Psychiatry in men and women in general that showed that 2-to-1 ratio, twice as likely that women will have depression than men. But when they added in masculine depression symptoms, that ratio went away to 1-in-1. So I think the same thing might be occurring during the perineal period for fathers.
And Dr. Fisher, what have you discovered through your research about the emotional, hormonal, and environmental factors that contribute to paternal postpartum depression?
Well, I think it's a big issue that one, we assumed, even as scientists, that men, they don't go through hormonal changes, and that's just not true. The actuality is that as fathers get more involved, the testosterone lowers, which is associated with depression. Two, perinatal health in general for moms and dads, so much of it is based on the social environmental culture that we have, that we put a lot of stress and pressure on the families. I think the Surgeon General put something out recently about parents in general overstressed just by being parents, not even talking about clinical diagnosis, but just the general population is overstressed. But also we have a lot of policies that just don't support families and support fathers. For example, they have difficulty getting parental leave, which means after a couple of weeks, you usually have to go back to work rather than having time to transition to this new role and being more embedded in the family. This leads to many times like these traditional gendered norms of who's doing the parenting, and it's not allowing the families to choose themselves how they want to divvy up those responsibilities, which causes stress for both parents.
Is there a particular period after birth when dads are most vulnerable?
Yes, it is around 3 to 6 months postpartum, assuming that's reasonably around the time that fathers start to get more involved. But a study by Craig Garfield showed that it's the first 5 years is that we're at the highest risk, but just there's a peak time during the 3 to 6 months postpartum.
And what role do you think that things like disrupted sleep, shorter winter days, work stress, and the pressure to be strong play in this?
Yes, I think that there's so many things that the things you listed and more that play into the idea that they are at risk because of like the amount of stress coming from so many angles. Like I encourage parents in general around the wintertime, I'm in Chicago, get your vitamin D checked, make sure that it's not deficient because that can play into your mood, especially it gets much darker earlier in the long winters that we have here. Understanding that like these are other factors that play into it, including like being strong means you're ignoring what you're experiencing. Even though we're talking about perinatal mental health for fathers, we need to train men early on just in general to be more aware of their own mental health and health in general. So often I have to get fathers and men in general to just go to their primary care physician. Like sometimes they've been gone years without going to one, and therefore we have to be more conscious about our physical and our emotional health.
We've all heard the analogy of the pebble. When you throw it into the water and it makes ripples. And as we think about a father's postpartum depression, what's the impact on a newborn or young child? How does that impact them?
Well, this is important. I appreciate you bringing this up because sometimes we think, well, if I'm depressed, it's only my problem until the kid gets older. We don't realize that our vocalizations, our facial expressions, all these little nuances actually directly impact that child, that infant's mental health. And that leads to a trajectory that eventually as they get older, it can lead to even more pronounced symptoms of internalizing behaviors like depression and sadness and anxiety, along with externalized behaviors like misbehavior. And therefore, at an early stage, it is important to consider how you're engaging with the child based on your own mental health. I will also quickly highlight is that we always knew that the mom's mental health impacted the child. But my research has shown that after you control for mom's mental health, the father has a unique impact on that child's health, which means clinically that if we only treat the mom and support her getting better, we're still leaving that child at risk.
And leading to that, we often talk about how a supportive partner can help a struggling mom. But what about the opposite? How does paternal depression place stress on the mother or on the entire family unit?
Yes, like we know that depression in the father is related to depression in the mom and vice versa. And therefore, we do want them to work together as a team, that both of them to look out and be the eyes and ears for one another and also be each other's cheerleaders. Or, hey, you know what? I know it's scary, but go to that therapist. Go get support. Take a break for the each of them to be able to get the support they need to get through this. One way to reconceptualize it is really looking at postpartum depression as a family event versus individualizing it in a way that only puts pressure on one person, because it really alienates the person from each other and also makes it harder for them to get the support they need.
And as we've alluded to a couple of times so far, many men have been taught to push through it. And for dads listening who feel something's wrong but don't want to be seen as weak, what's the message you want them to hear right now, Dr. Fisher?
Well, I want them to know that they matter, their mental health matters, and it is not weakness to feel stressed. Everyone's going through it, it's just we don't talk about it. Historically, that was the same thing for moms. Before it became kind of more common in pop culture to talk about, moms suffered in silence and then later realized they're not the only one. It's not that they were deficient. And now men are going through the same thing. We need to make it more normative for them to talk about their mental health, for them to matter, and to also understand that their mental health does matter in relation to their family. Their family will be impacted by whether they are healthy or not.
And for spouses, grandparents, or friends who are listening, what are some signs that a new dad may be struggling?
Well, you know them best, so you should look out for any differences in their behavior. See if they seem a little more irritable or on edge. See if they seem like they're having an extra nightcap every night, basically drinking a little bit more or using other substances. And also just things that might just seem like, you know what, it seems odd, but you know what, I don't know. I'm not a clinician. I don't know if that's relevant. But still talk to your partner about it so that they can talk to a professional to determine, is this clinically significant and important to address?
And Dr. Fisher, where can our listeners go to learn more about postpartum depression in fathers and get connected to reliable information or support?
Well, they can go to Northwestern Medicine at nancymary.org. But they can also go to Postpartum Support International that has a lot of education online and also resources, including groups for fathers, in addition to the International Marseille Society that has information about mental health for fathers. So across those three groups, there's a lot of wealth of information available to parents and families in general, but also specifically for fathers.
Dr. Fisher, I want to thank you for bringing this conversation into the light. And new dads do matter. Their emotional health matters. And when fathers get the support they need, the whole family benefits. Thank you again, Dr. Fisher, for joining me here on the Mark White Show today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
When we come back, we're going to be talking with AARP's Heather Naraki about holiday loneliness for adults over age 45. I hope you'll stick with us. You are listening to The Mark White Show, and I'm your host, Mark White.
All you have to do is try. Yeah, every day's a chance to change somebody else's life. Let's all do something good today.
Hydration Lounge in Athens, Alabama offers IV therapy and an array of injectionables. We offer on-site appointments, walk-in or book online, as well as mobile appointments, events, and parties. Visit us at hydrationl.com for more information.
Since 1943, Athens Bible School has endeavored to provide quality education in a Christian environment and to equip young people with the tools to be successful. ABS is accredited by Cognia and a member of the Alabama High School Athletic Association. With the Bible at the foundation, with all of our curriculum from pre-K to 12, ABS has something unique to offer. Find out more information at athensbible.com.
With six convenient locations to serve you, Bankston Motorhomes is your local RV dealer. They have some of the top brand name RVs for sale at incredible prices. Whether you are looking for an awesome RV for a long-term road trip or a smaller or more lightweight RV for the occasional weekend getaway, Bankston Motorhomes is here to provide you with some outstanding options and deals that you just won't find anywhere else. For more information, go to BankstonMotorhomes.com or visit one of their six convenient locations in Huntsville, Florence, Warrior, Albertville, and Ardmore in Nashville, Tennessee. That's Bankston Motorhomes.
Hydration Lounge, located in Athens, Alabama, now offers medical weight loss consultations. We discuss nutrition, diet, and lifestyle, as well as prescription medication. Visit us at hydrationl.com for more information.
Hi, this is Don McClain. You're listening to The Mark White Show. Find a way to make a difference by listening to this show. I hope you'll tune in. Perhaps they'll listen.
Right now, we have Heather Naraki, AARP's Vice President of Experiences and Connections. During the holiday season, when the world tells us we're supposed to feel connected, the gap can feel even wider for those who are 45 and older, and there are studies that back this up. Heather, as you think about AARP's new study that shows that 40% of adults age 45 and older feel lonely, what are some of the signs that someone or even ourselves may be struggling with loneliness?
Well, we actually have done this study before. Back in 2018, the rate of loneliness among 45 plus was 35%. So what we're seeing is an actual increase in the last few years. And we think that's because when we ask people about their size of their networks, how many groups they participate in, and how they spend their time, we're finding that people these days are just not joining as much. They are not participating in community groups or clubs as often. There's less volunteering happening, and people are spending just a lot more time alone.
And the research shows loneliness is highest among people in their 40s and 50s. So how do age, work schedules, and family responsibilities in midlife contribute to these feelings?
In our study, we looked at people 45 plus, as I said, but what's interesting is that nearly half of adults 45 to 59 are reporting a sense of loneliness compared to 35% of 60 plus. And we asked everybody about the demands on their time, how, you know, what kind of obligations they have. And what we found is that, not surprisingly, people who are in midlife, 45 to 59, they have, many of them have families, many are working, and they even may have aging parents. And so what's happening is that there's a real demand on time. And they're saying, you know, I may not be isolated. I have a lot of people around me, but I just don't have the time to really meaningfully connect with my friends the same way as I'd like to.
But then, Heather, we have nearly half of lonely adults saying they have fewer friends today than they did 5 years ago. Now, I thought we had thousands of friends on Facebook, right?
Well, it's so important to pay attention to your social health the same way we pay attention to our mental health and our physical health. These three aspects of life are so important. They're intertwined. And if you pay attention to all three and nurture your social network, you're going to have the best chance for the happiest, healthiest life possible. It's just so important that you make sure you make time as you can to connect with the people around you. You certainly connect with your friends and family, but also when you're out and about in your day-to-day life, just saying hello to someone in the grocery line or chit-chatting about the weather, you know, that could be really important, not only for you to feel connected in that moment, but for the person on the other side.
Now, here's something really interesting, Heather. For a generation that most likely saw their very first computer in school, These lonely adults, 23% of them say that they're interested in using AI technologies for companionship. So in your experience, what role does technology play, both positive and negative, in helping people stay connected?
Well, we asked our respondents about technology and the role that it plays in their life as it relates to feeling connected to others. And amongst those who are not experiencing loneliness, about 60% of those people say they actually rely on technology to stay connected with friends and family. But, you know, when we look at the people who are reporting loneliness, about a quarter of them think that technology actually hinders their ability to feel connected and make new friends. So it can be a double-edged sword for people.
And as we look at the holidays and heightened emotions, as you mentioned, some are caregivers. Some have lost those who took care of them when they were younger. They've lost their parents and their grandparents. The holidays can amplify loneliness for so many. What practical steps can people take to feel more connected this season, even if they're far from family or facing an empty chair at the table?
It's true that it can be a difficult time for many, especially if you live alone or are experiencing a sense of loneliness. I'd encourage everyone to take stock of their social network. You know, who in your social network have you not talked to in a while? Let's just go ahead and make an effort. Reach out to that person. I invite them out for coffee or just a phone call. That can be really helpful. Volunteering is the best way, one of the best ways to feel connected to others and have a bonus of helping your community. You have a built-in a connection with people because you're all there for the same reason and share that interest. I'd encourage you also, you know, think about what interests you have. And there is a group online or in person for just about anything. That's a really great way to meet new people because you have that shared interest in common. It's a built-in thing to think about. And for those of you who are not feeling lonely, that says, no, that's not me. Remember that there are lonely people all around us. And just reaching out to someone in your neighborhood that maybe you wonder if they're lonely, can't hurt. Reach out, say hello, make them feel that somebody cares. And again, just in your everyday life, smile at somebody, say hello, chit chat a little bit. It doesn't have to be a big conversation, but these little boosts throughout the day can really help someone feel less lonely and more connected to their community.
And everyone's circumstances are different, so not everyone can travel, volunteer, or attend events. What are small, simple habits people can build into daily life that help combat loneliness year-round?
Yeah, it's difficult if you live alone and maybe you have some mobility challenges, and maybe you know you're not as comfortable with technology. I think in those circumstances, it's difficult. I would reach out to your network of friends and family and think about who you haven't connected with in a while. Or maybe there's just somebody next door. It's not about necessarily going on a big excursion. Maybe you just reach out to a neighbor. There are people all around you. And, you know, I think that if you make the effort to reach out, you'll be surprised at how welcoming people will be.
And Heather, I'm a solutions guy, so I know there are problems, but I want to hear solutions. So AARP offers programs, events, and tools to help older adults strengthen those relationships. Can you share some of the ways that AARP is working to support social health and connection across the country?
I encourage everyone to check out aarp.org/connect. There you'll find articles, tools, tips, resources. If you're feeling that you maybe are someone who's struggling with loneliness, there's help there. And if you're not, you say, that's not me, but you suspect that there are people in your network, there are people that you know, there's some tips and help and suggestions there for you too. But most importantly, I encourage everybody to check out our events calendar. We have more than 14,000 in-person and virtual events around the country every year. And we have events on anything you can imagine. And when you join an event in virtually or in person, again, it's a great way to feel more connected because you have something in common immediately. As soon as you walk in that door, the virtual door or an in-person door, you have something to talk about because you're all there for the same reason. So check out that calendar at aarp.org/connect. Everything is free, open to everyone, no matter your age.
And Heather Naraki, I appreciate you joining me today to remind us that connection isn't just a nice thing, it's actually part of our health. So thank you for joining me here on the Mark White Show today.
Thank you so much.
As always, we're here to recognize our difference makers and share stories to encourage and inspire us all to make a difference where we can. And I want you to share this show with your family, your friends, and your neighbors. I want you to follow The Mark White Show on Facebook and Instagram and also subscribe to The Mark White Show podcast wherever you get your podcast. You have been listening to another edition of The Mark White Show, and this is Mark White encouraging you to find your purpose by making a difference in someone's life today.
Thompson Roofing and Construction is a locally owned family business serving the North Alabama and Southern Tennessee area. They are a Better Business Bureau A-plus member since 2011 and a GAF Master Elite Contractor. Give them a call at 256-952-3309 or check them out on the web at 256roofing.com. They offer free inspections.
Thompson Roofing and Construction.
When you need it, Greens has it. At Greens Dependable Hardware in Russellville, Alabama, we've been helping our neighbors get the job done for over 75 years. From tools and paint to plumbing and lawn care, we've got the brands you trust and the service you deserve. Our knowledgeable staff is always ready to help you find exactly what you need and with a smile. Stop by Greens Dependable Hardware on Highway 43 in Russellville or call 256-331-0123. Greens Dependable Hardware, the name says it all.
Is it time for a haircut? Give my friend Philip Butler at Southwind Barbershop a call, located in Rogersville, Alabama. You can call him at 256-247-5658. Make an appointment or just walk in. That's Southwind Barbershop in Rogersville, Alabama.
Since 1943, Athens Bible School has endeavored to provide quality education in a Christian environment and to equip young people with the tools to be successful. ABS is accredited by Cognia and a member of the Alabama High School Athletic Association. With the Bible at the foundation, with all of our curriculum from pre-K to 12, ABS has something unique to offer. Find out more information at athensbible.com.
Demo the kitchen. Go tour the Dream College. We can help you get to those moments that matter.
Contact Brad Wallace, your Edward Jones financial advisor, on Hughes Road in Madison, Alabama. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
Gentle people who shout a friendly hi when they go passing by, who live and love in my hometown. These are my kind of people.